Welcome to Britt David Podcast and part two of this third message in the series, Because He Lives, the Aftermath of Jesus' Resurrection. Today, we are talking about the relationship between baptism and the resurrection. The water we use in a baptistry simply helps us portray a profound truth, because Jesus is alive. Everything in my life is made new. Here's Pastor Tim.
That's what it means to be identified with Him in His crucifixion. But that's just part of the verse. Go back with me. Let's go back up to verse number 4. We said this was kind of like a theme verse, right? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. I'm identified with Him in His crucifixion. But secondly, I am impacted by Christ in His resurrection. Notice what he means. He says that just as, don't miss that, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You say, Tim, is that really true? Can I really be sure that all my sins are gone? Can I really be sure that one day when I stand at the gates of heaven that I'm welcomed in? Can I really be sure of those things? Verse number 4, it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead. Was He raised from the dead? Are you sure? Then yes. You can be sure. Just as He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should be raised to walk in newness of life. Look at verse number 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, that's what we mean by being identified with Him. We have been united together in the likeness of His death. Certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. I am impacted by Christ in His resurrection. Let me show you what I mean. We went through verses 6 and 7. Skip down with me to verse number 8. In verse number 8, he says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Let me give you 4 of these results of Jesus' resurrection and what it means for me. 1, it means I have a new perpetuity. I have a new perpetuity. I have everlasting life. He says, certainly that we will live with Him. Certainly we will be raised with Him. In that very same way, it says, now that He has been raised to life, He dies no more. So this is not quite like the resurrection of Lazarus, is it? Lazarus was raised from the dead, but yet he died. That little girl that he said, little girl, arise. She arose. One day she died. Jairus' servant dies. Raised to life, only to die again. Listen to me. Death does not have a hold on the believer. How can you say that? Because death doesn't have a hold of Christ. It doesn't have a hold of Him. It says that He dies no more. No more. I don't have to worry about that. I have eternal life, everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's all made possible because of His resurrection. His resurrection gives me a new perpetuity. Number two, His resurrection gives me a new power. I have a new power. Power that I did not have before. I have His power. Look what it says there as verse number 9 finishes. He says that Jesus, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Look at this sentence. Death no longer has dominion over Him. Death no longer has dominion over us. Our sin no longer has dominion over us. Authority, I am under His authority. I'm under His authority. Listen, if you were at our home, okay, we've had a meal together maybe, we're sitting in the living room and we're just talking, I don't know, whatever it is, whatever you want to do, all right, we're just there. And Juliana comes in and she says, I want to go to the beach. That's not pushing it too far. She probably does, all right? And you say, well, good for you, girl. Have a good trip. You have my permission. I can't make my eyebrow do that thing, you know, where one raises up by itself, but you can imagine it because it's coming, all right? I'm going to look at you funny-eyed because you don't have authority to tell her that. I do. Sin no longer has authority in my life or in my home. It can tell me, Tim, it's okay to look at that. Tim, it's okay to say that. Tim, it's okay to think that. Tim, it's okay to feel that way. Tim, it's okay to have that attitude. Tim, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. You've got my permission. Sin doesn't have dominion there anymore. He doesn't have authority. If I search the Word of God and the Word of God says I will put nothing wicked before my eyes, then the Bible is telling me, Tim, you ought not look at that. If the same Bible that tells me that also says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, then it's saying, Tim, it's not okay to say that. When the Bible talks about the attitudes of my heart, then it's not saying, Tim, it's not okay to feel that way or to think that way or to have that kind of an attitude. God has authority in my life. He has dominion in my life. And it's not just enough for Him to be able to say, Tim, you tell sin no. You ever tried that? Works out real good, doesn't it? No, I'm not going to do that. And suddenly you find yourself doing it. Not only does He give me, because He has dominion, not only does He give me authority then to be able to say no to that temptation, there's something else that comes with it. What? Power. He enables you to do what you never could have done before. And that's to say no to temptation. The Bible says that you have not been overtaken in any sin that is any different than what anybody else has ever gone through. But it says this. It says with that temptation. Doesn't say He's taking the temptation away. With that temptation, He will always make a means of escape. There's a way for you to say no. And now you have power to do so. Because of His resurrection, death has no dominion. Sin has no dominion. Satan has no dominion. In parentheses, unless you give it to them. Okay? I have a new perpetuity. I have a new power. Number three, I have a new purpose. I have a new purpose in life because of His resurrection. Look at verse number 10. For the death that Jesus died, He died to sin once for all. Let me stop there for just a moment. Talking about parentheses, let me give you this one. Jesus doesn't have to keep dying. He didn't die every day. He doesn't die every time for some new person. He dies once for all. For all. For all of us. And for all of the sin. Just once. So if you're one of these who have a problem in thinking about timing and you say, well, I understand that when I asked Jesus to come in my heart, that he forgave me and made me clean. So all of my old sin, that old man, all of that's gone. I understand that. But what about the sin I'm going to commit tomorrow? Does Jesus have to die for that too? What about the sin that I may commit next year? Does he have to die for that too? No. He has died once for all. Listen, if you have to have Christ dying for you every time that you mess up, then the Catholics are right. You're going to have a priest, or you're going to have somebody there at the moment that you draw your last breath to make sure that you're right with the Lord. The Bible says that you got right with the Lord the moment that you invited him into your life. The power of his resurrection is enough for everybody for all time. I am clean through and through. All right, let's get back to the purpose. It says that Jesus died for sin, to sin, once for all, but the life that he lives, he lives to God. The life that you now live, because you're identified with him in his resurrection, so the life that you live, what is your purpose? It is to God, to glorify him in all things, to live righteously and holy, to spread the word of his kingdom and the word of his salvation to others. My purpose in my whole life has changed. My purpose is not wrapped up in my job. My purpose is not wrapped up in my family. My purpose is not wrapped up in my priorities. My purpose is wrapped up in Jesus. Who he is, what he says, when he says, that is my purpose. That's your purpose. I am raised to walk. What did verse number 4 say? I am raised to walk in newness of life. That leads me then to number 4. I have a new perpetuity. I have a new power. I have a new purpose. Fourthly, I have a new path. I have a new path. And it's part of that newness of life. Look, if you will, in verse number 11. He says, likewise, you also, because Jesus has died and you have been united with him in his death, because Jesus has been raised from the dead and now he's given that life to you, likewise, you also reckon yourselves. Paul was from the south, wasn't he? I reckon. Reckon yourselves, consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What is repentance? Is repentance saying that I'm sorry for my sin? Is repentance getting on my knees and praying? Is repentance shedding tears over my sin? The answer to all that is no. Is repentance confession of that sin? Again, no. If you want to picture it, then you picture a soldier who's marching along, and that sergeant yells out, "Rear march!" He doesn't quit. He doesn't quit marching. He simply turns around and begins to march in the other direction. You don't stop living. You don't stop being you. You maintain your personality and probably most of your quirks. But you've got a new purpose that comes with a new path, a new direction. You're not going in that same direction. What used to be seen out your windshield has now has to be viewed in your rearview mirror. You're going in a whole new direction in life. Dead to your sin, but alive to God. He says, reckon yourselves that way. Consider yourselves. Count yourselves to be in that line. Because Jesus lives, because He has been raised from the dead, I have victory now and for forever. And that day at Prince Avenue Baptist Church in Athens, Georgia, when they move the pulpit and open the trap door, that's a baptistry for you. I'd be scared of that one. I got down in that baptistry to tell the world, or at least that little portion of the world that was watching, the old Tim is gone. The new Tim has come. He is my Savior, and He is my Lord. I will follow Him. That's what I said that day. That's what Savannah said today. What do you say? Let me ask you to bow your head and close your eyes with me for a moment. Listen, maybe you need to give your heart to Jesus. There ain't no shame in sitting in church and saying, boy, I need to give my heart to Jesus. If that's what you need to do that. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Don't put that off any longer. You know, one of the things that Savannah said to me last week, she said, I am ready to make that change. Are you ready? Has the Lord been gnawing at your heart? Why not come here today and say, Tim, I just need to be saved. Maybe you have been, and maybe you know that. Maybe you need to plant your life in this church. Savannah said, I want to make this my church home. Make this your church home. Maybe there's something that you deal with or some specific issue that's on your heart. You want me to pray with you, or you just want to gather in the altar. Maybe by yourself, maybe with a friend. This is the time to respond to what you've heard God say. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Father, we ask your blessing over these moments. May your Spirit prompt the heart of every person to be obedient to you at whatever level that means. We ask you to do your work in these moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand.
Pastor Tim, thanks you for joining us here today on Britt David Podcast. And he would like to invite you to check out our past messages here in our podcast library. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is churchoffice@brittdavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Britt David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Britt David Podcast.